Riley Green. Talk about his mustache and the Tigers.
Whatever gets the boys going.
Three straight wins. Panic over. Slump over. Back tied first place in the American League. Nice cushy lead in the division.
Do you think he keeps it the rest of the year? Or is it a, hey, if we lose two in a row, we lose three in a row, Magic's gone and he decides to shave it off?
Does he then go clean shaven and then grow it all back at the same time? Or does he just subtly
allow the
stop?
Beard to grow in and fill in underneath the stash? I don't know.
These are the questions.
These are the hard-hitting questions that we ask in the morning.
Hey, Rieger, you're at the ballpark. You're asking, why didn't you ask that question? Yeah,
exactly. What's it take to shave it off or go with the full beard?
They're not thinking about losing right now. They got a chance to sweep the Diamondbacks today, and then they're going to lock Suarez in the locker room and make him a Tiger, right?
That's the hope. I mean, hold him here until the deal's done.
Gleyber Torres says, really, really want him.
You know, it was interesting because who was it? Was the Orioles were playing with Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Blue Jays. And I got an update from the MLB app last night that says, hey, trade just happened and two guys just traded clubhouses. I thought, oh, the Tigers did it. No, it was Baltimore and the Blue Jays. A couple of guys swapped jerseys.
Yeah, they gave up their number 10 prospect to land a bullpen piece just to gauge the market for Tiger fans. But hey, maybe that you get that notification today.
I was excited.
That's been a very popular trade over the last three, 4 years in Major League Baseball is the teams in town is, hey, we'll trade with you. You're here.
Because to me, the perfect thing is you would trade for Suarez today and you'd get your bullpen piece tomorrow. You get your bat, you get your arm, you're in the mix. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, Scott Harris has plenty of opportunity to sit down with their GM or president of baseball operations, have a dinner, have a drink. Let's see if we can work something out. Let's just spend a little time together.
A little wine and dine
while
they're in town. You have a loaded question we'll get to at 7:50 involving the Tigers and the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I have in front of me an urgency index. This is from The Athletic. They break down the urgency for every team at the deadline by position, John. There's some depth to this.
Okay.
For example, bats. Who most urgently needs a bat, according to The Athletic? It's not the Tigers.
Okay.
It's the Padres. Desperately need a left fielder. Second most urgent bat would be the Houston Astros. Third is the Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
And what I think is noteworthy is Houston, they write all about how they need a lefty bat. The Tigers are looking for a righty bat. I mean, in terms of needing an infield right-handed bat, the Tigers have the largest urgency of any baseball team. If you look to starting pitching, they list the Cubs as the team that most desperately needs help, followed by the Mets, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Padres. They don't even mention the Tigers for starting pitching. For relievers, the Yankees, their bullpen is in free fall. They most desperately need a relief pitcher, followed by the Phillies and the Tigers, who they list third most urgency to add a bullpen piece. With the Tigers, they write, the bullpen ERA has gotten substantially worse each month. 2.9 in April, 3.8 in May, 4.4 in June, and 6.1 in July. Yes, it is right there with a bat. So it's a one-step, two-step for Scott Harris.
Yeah, we are down to it right now. And we kept hoping that, hey, why do you have to wait till the very end? Well, it takes two teams to have that conversation. Two GMs, president of baseball operations, have to get together and consummate a deal. And Arizona, I wouldn't be surprised if they wait until the actual deadline is 4 o'clock tomorrow, I believe.
Sounds right.
Until 3 o'clock, 3:30. The problem is we've had this issue with Scott Harris before with Erod. And is there a backup plan if Suarez does end up being their number one target? Is there a backup plan? We talked about plan B yesterday, some different bats. It's no one is going to raise to the level of Eugenio Suarez.
No, and I think this is why we have that larger conversation about Scott Harris and acing this deadline and what it takes, because there was no plan B for Bregman.
Yeah.
There might not be a plan B for Suarez. Some of these deadlines they've taken right up to the wire, like, let's see it, Scott. Let's see it. Let's see you deliver, not on rumors and speculation and maybes, but the prime target in our uniform making an impact.
That's what we're all hoping for. And now it's just, it's literally wait and see.
Couple ticket texts. People loved Grant Stewart, by the way.
Yeah, God, he was a lot of fun to talk to.
Says, great interview this morning. Another one says, his mindset has me pumped to root for the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I've never heard of him, but cool dude. Wish him the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just signed him. I mean, he's a special teamer.
Right.
But he brought that mentality. People love that stuff, man. The underdog. It was the perfect conversation with our underdog topic to have him on. Texter says, on the underdog subject, Sun God must be watching larger media broadcasts. They're all predicting a step back. Guys, are you new to this? The Lions haven't won a Super Bowl in 60-plus years. Of course they're underdogs, Eric and McComb. And this one says, St. Brown must be listening to a certain afternoon show. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the long-running saga that is Connor Stallions just continues. The latest update is centered around Central Michigan University and their game with Michigan State back in 2023, where Stallions appeared to be there disguised right on the sideline. And on Tuesday, news
broke.
Can we
just say it was him?
If it wasn't him, who was it?
Right.
Can we just say
it had to be him?
Right?
Yes.
Because if it wasn't him, that person would be like, oh, That was me.
And might I say, as a Chippewa, completely stupid and unnecessary to smuggle the guy onto our sideline. Just stupid behavior. We should be penalized. There should be no kicking and screaming. It was dumb.
It was dumb. And obviously, news broke on Tuesday that Central was served a notice of allegations from the NCAA related to the scandal. The school received, apparently, this notice on June 27th. We'll have 90 days to respond. There you have that. A 12-year-old Pontiac boy was arrested on Tuesday after allegedly stealing three trucks from a Waterford lawn care business. Two of the trucks had trailers attached, so in total they were valued at about $90,000. They all have been recovered, so that's besides the point. So this boy already has a history of car theft because he was previously arrested back in June, you may remember, for stealing seven vehicles from a Pontiac business. And this, you remember this? He sold one of them for $30.
Right.
Remember
that
story?
Yes. Yes. And I asked a question like, who's buying a car for $30?
From a 12-year-old?
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, the lunacy on many parts, but this kid is 12 years old, and this is now his second time being arrested for auto theft?
Yes. Police also say another boy, a 13-year-old, was arrested after his mother identified him in a video.
Oh, mom turned him in.
From the Waterford break-ins that was posted to Facebook. So mom saw it, knew it was his son or her son, and turned him in. Both boys remain in custody at Children's Village. Detroit city officials are hoping to combat some crime and keep the youth safe by strengthening their youth curfew ordinance. So the Detroit City Council voted on Tuesday to approve a proposal that will increase fines for parents whose children are out past curfew and also remove jail time as a punishment. So now parents of kids who are out too late will be fined $250 for the first offense, and then $500 for the second, which is a lot of money. Previously, it was $75 and then $100. And Detroit Police Chief Todd Bettison says that this is about leverage and putting parents on notice to prevent more youths from being gunned down. They can either pay the increased fines or avoid them by taking parental courses, training, and other resources offered by the court and signing their children up for programming as well.
Wow.
So curfew, in case you didn't know, minors 15 and under can't be out without a parent after 10 p.m. And for ages 16 to 17, the curfew is 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy Osbourne fans can say their final goodbyes to the legendary rocker today. So his body is heading back to his hometown for a final procession. This will take place kind of like through the town. It will make a stop at the Black Sabbath bench and bridge, which is kind of a place where a lot of fans have created a memorial for him, you know, leaving flowers and messages and tributes there. So a lot of people are expected to be out. They say massive crowds will pour into Birmingham to pay their respects. Happy Gilmore 2 just set a new record for Netflix. It had the biggest U.S. opening weekend ever for a Netflix original movie. So it got 46.7 million views over 3 days. And it was received pretty well by fans. Currently has a 70% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 61% with critics.
See, I've seen mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, I've tried to watch it twice, and I've yet to complete it.
Okay, so I'll say this, and I was texting Tom and Cookies while I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tough to get through the first half hour.
Oh, see, and I thought the first part was the easiest to get through.
Oh, I thought it was depressing.
I've read that.
Yeah, but
so
it was
again,
like
no
nostalgic,
spoilers.
Though, because they brought back all, like, they...
But then I've heard like they just cram in way too many cameos. Like, John, is that...
I thought the cameos was cool.
Okay, but too many or...
I don't know that you can have too many as long as they play their part well.
Okay, I have not seen it yet. I mean, I probably will get to it.
Like, I mean, you could look up the cast, right? I mean, his daughters are in it, which I thought was cool.
Okay.
He always
John
has
Daly
his,
is in it, which he was hilarious.
Now, Scotty Scheffler's in it too, I think I saw.
He is.
Funny.
And, okay, I don't...
Do they make fun of the arrest thing?
Yes.
Okay. That's not a spoiler. I've seen that online.
Yes, they do. And for just from Scottie Scheffler's perspective, or for fans of his, and I'm a big fan,
mm-hmm.
like we always talk about how dry he is. This was a step in the right direction to show a little personality.
He's got some chops.
Yeah.
Okay.
It got better as it went on. So if you're struggling at the beginning, Heather, obviously you weren't.
See, I disagree with you. I think it was... I have probably a half hour left and I cannot finish this dumb movie because it's just lost my attention.
What it is. It's intentionally supposed to be a dumb
it
movie.
It is. Yeah. That
it's
is
an
what
Adam
you
Sandler
get.
Movie. Yeah.
His Happy Place isn't as cool as the original Happy Place.
Okay. It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Guys, if you're injured in an auto accident, take control with KG Law. Get personalized care, guidance, and full legal representation with the Michigan law firm that has won over 5,000 personal injury cases. 98% success rate. KG Law knows how to win your case. That's K-A-J-Y. It's KG Law, a law firm that cares. In fact, it's the phone number, 877-KG-CARES, online at kgcares.com. If you or a loved one's been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com, kgcares.com. Thank you for that. 97.1. Deadline's tomorrow. John has a loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that at 7:50. You got a Tiger hitter endorsing a deadline target. Want to talk about that. There are some texts on Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
Heather, your taste is all in your mouth. Happy Gilmore 2 was hilarious. Ron in Belleville.
I just can't seem to finish it. Like, I get to a certain point, and then I fell asleep both times I tried to watch it. Maybe I'm watching it too late at night. I don't know.
Timothy from Ford says, I thought Happy Gilmore sequel was hilarious. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm 100% with Heather. The first half is way better than the second half.
Well, it's kind of hard for us to describe because I don't want to give away any of the storylines or moments if you haven't seen it yet. I just thought that the first half hour, I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. Oh, that's a bummer. Oh, this is depressing.
Fully agree with Heather. The beginning was all right, but I fell asleep twice as well trying to finish it. And then they describe some stuff I'm not going to describe because we're trying to be fair to people. It's only been out for less than a week. Happy Gilmore 2, watched it twice in a row and loved it, but you probably have to be a huge fan to appreciate all of it.
I think the second time that you watch it, and I've gone back because I haven't finished it either, you notice more, as you do with any movie, right? But
mm-hmm.
there are some cameos that you see, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, obviously, Travis Kelce. Like,
he
I thought
great.
He did a really good job. But there are other ones where you're like, oh, I wonder if that's somebody. And then you see some of the things that are posted on social media or online, and they go through all the different cameos. And there are people like, even if you told me who they were, I wouldn't know who they were.
So, again, I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably see it in the next couple days here. What I had seen was... The second half, people didn't like.
That's weird.
And you liked that.
Yeah. Well, I started to enjoy it more at about the 35, 40 minute mark.
And I had heard the cameos were fun, but got to be too much. But if that's what you were watching for, like, you can't say, oh, it's a stupid, silly, dumb movie, I didn't like it. It's Adam Sandler. It's Happy Gilmore. Right. It's supposed to be stupid,
exactly,
silly.
Exactly what you would expect as a sequel to Happy Gilmore. It is stupid. It's a dumb movie.
It's
I didn't say it was awful or bad, but I can't get through it. Like, the ending to me, I haven't finished it yet.
This text says it was awful. Says anyone who says otherwise is a mouth breather. So we have the elitists chiming in this morning on the ticket text. And, oh boy. Someone goes at Heather here.
Oh.
It says, Happy Gilmore was too good.
Wait.
It was so good, it was too good. It says, I'm sorry that Heather only likes foreign documentaries with subtitles. She probably hates old school Wedding Crashers, Step Brothers, all the classics. Those are good movies. Thanks, guys.
Jim, that's an autocorrect to T-O-O, not T-W-O.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's...
Yeah, that makes
more sense
now.
Like those foreign films, but I also do like, I love Wedding Crashers and all Step Brothers. I love all those movies. Yeah. This was what you would expect it to be. It's a dumb movie. I mean, it's not a good movie. Yeah. Like, well done. It's an Adam Sandler dumb movie, but the ending, I don't know.
You didn't like
I don't think, I didn't even see it. I don't know if I ever will.
When
you get
to
it. I gave it two shots.
So Step Brothers, what's the one scene that comes to mind?
Probably when they're in their bedroom and they made room
the drums?
For activities.
Yes.
Well, no, that's not the one. That's not the scene that comes to my mind.
Exactly the scene that comes to mind, or the song.
Or when they're laying in bed, I hear like when he.
Yeah.
Pam and Pam. Is
there Pam or Pan? Pam.
Chris Chelios, Sean Avery were in there. I mean, how many people were in this movie? I feel like the cameo list is ridiculous.
Everyone.
Yeah, I think I saw, like, again, one of those social media things. There was like 60-some cameos.
Wow. I definitely agree with John. First hour was almost unwatchable. Thought it was...
Yeah. Wow. It's just depressing.
Well, that's dark. Like, dark to start.
Yeah.
And then cameos to the finish.
I mean, as dark as a cheesy Adam Sandler movie can be. Like, it wasn't like dark. Like, this is...
Well, people did die.
Yeah, but in
spoilers,
a funny way.
John.
Yeah, sorry.
But like in a silly way.
Okay. If you've seen it, you know what they're talking about.
If I'm going to die, I hope I die in a silly way.
Do you?
I don't know.
I hope I die in my sleep.
Peacefully at 100 years old.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. How do you want to go?
You laugh. It could be in the cookie jar this week. All right. A tiger spoke out. A tiger spoke out before the game yesterday. This is public comment. This is go get this guy. And I loved it. It was Gleyber Torres, who has some cachet. He's an all-star. He's a veteran. He was in the World Series a year ago. And he talked about Eugenio Suarez, who's in town. And he said it would be a really, really good addition for us. Two reallys if you're keeping score. He says if he comes here, it would be awesome in every aspect. Here's a guy who gets it, John.
Well, yeah, he gets it because most of these guys on this team haven't been on teams that have been buyers at the deadline. They don't know what it feels like to be in this position, let alone the juice that it provides when you add a player that can help you like a Eugenio Suarez.
He's a guy who's hitting really well with runners in scoring position this season. 277 with 1,000 OPS. He's mashing in clutch situations. He's a 300 hitter in a small sample size in the postseason. And he's owned the Dodgers over the last 2 years. This is the biggest bat available, the biggest name available at the trade deadline. And he fits the Tigers.
Well, and you're never going to remake your roster. The Tigers aren't going to remake their roster enough to look at and say, we're favored over the Dodgers. You're not. But if you can add a bat that helps you.
Chip away.
And if you can add a bat that has been very good against that team.
Even better. And I've already seen people point out he strikes out too much. So does the best player on this team. Riley Green's given him a jolt even with the strikeouts. Suarez has done the same for the Diamondbacks. And on a good team, he could have some big-time at-bats.
Well, it's just, it's another... Scott Harris, when he was on with it, he talked about, we're going to a pragmatic approach, all that stuff. But he did say, we want to make this lineup very difficult to pitch against.
Yep. And you talk about power from the left side in Green and Carpenter. Right side power, it's torque. And you'd like to throw another guy who can hit 3, 4, 5 in the middle of this order and provide some oomph. Don't let him leave town. That is the objective today. Do not let him leave town. Speaking of Scott Harris, we'll talk about your loaded deadline question. That's next, 97.1.
Hey, summer's, I don't want to say winding down, but football season's here, so fall camp is in session, and you got a lot of great moments, and Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus has always been on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. I just described a couple of great moments at the end of summer here with football season on the horizon. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. So whether it's tailgating, grilling, hitting the beach, going out on the boat, or just kicking back, it's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. Look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Fell just shy of the cycle. Tiger Bats came alive. Three straight wins, and they're all loving Riley Green's mustache.
Hey, whatever works.
Hey,
I don't care. If that's what has a little juice in the clubhouse, and whether it's a superstition or it's just fun, baseball's supposed to be fun. Sports are supposed to be fun. Go out there. You're going to play a lot better when you're having fun. Javi Baez at the beginning of the season. How much fun did it look like he was having in center field?
Yep.
And he's played better.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden the panic's gone.
Yeah.
Settling in. Deadline's tomorrow. And John, you have even admitted this is a bit of a loaded question.
It is, because the question of itself raises questions.
Yep.
And so as I was typing this out, I thought, okay, well, how am I going to word this? And the question is, what is your level of confidence in Scott Harris that he's going to do the right thing?
Well, what's the right thing?
Correct. And so is it to land Suarez? Because some people believe like that is the end all be all. There are other people that have said, no, we don't want to give up prospects. And we've had the lunatics who have said you should be sellers and trade Skubal.
Bunch of losers.
Right. Or maybe it's just stand pat, don't do anything, because you want to keep your prospects. And next year, if you're not going to trade Skubal, if you're not going to extend Skubal, you want to have as big of an arsenal as possible for next year. You're thinking maybe in this offseason they do add a bat like Bregman, or Suarez will be a free agent. Whatever it is in the offseason, you're better next year at this time. And then next year is the trade deadline where you go all in, because it's World Series or bust. 27, there's not going to be any baseball. Skubal won't be here anyway. So next year is the all-in move.
How about two cracks at it instead of one? How about now?
I'm with you.
Yeah, because you started as hot as they did. You have the best record in the American League. If it's not now, when is it? And it doesn't mean you gut the entire farm system. I agree with not giving up top 100 guys.
There's not enough rental. There's not enough individuals out there to trade for to gut the entire farm system. This system is loaded.
Exactly. You should be buying multiple players between now and the end of the deadline tomorrow.
So what's your level of confidence that Scott Harris will do the right thing?
Okay, so you have to answer this in reverse order with the right thing first.
Well, what's the right thing? And then obviously what's your level of confidence that he's going to do what you want him to do?
Yeah. Now 248-539-9797, play along with us here. This is the first deadline Harris will be a buyer. It's a time to flex a little bit. You built up your farm system. You built up a hell of a major league product. You're in the mix. No, you're not the Dodgers. You can't become the Dodgers, but you can chip away at it. And they should, both with minimum one bat and one arm. That is the right thing, John. One bat and one arm. And I'd prefer it to be Suarez, and I really like Bednar. But there's a lot of relievers. There's only one big-time bopper infield righty, and it's Suarez. Mm-hmm. To me, it starts with Suarez. If he leaves town, it's a mistake by Scott Harris.
Well,
you should not be relying on McKinstry and Baez and Keith at third. You can still play all of them in different capacities while solidifying a heart of the order bat who's clutch in the postseason, who's clutch with runners in scoring position, who hits a ton of bombs. And if you're concerned with swing and miss, Riley Green swings and misses more, and we're loving up on the mustache today. Everybody knows what he's meant to this team. Give me a right-handed Green. A lot of swing and miss, but more than enough power to justify it.
I'm curious, are we going to have people at the airport tonight looking at the Diamondbacks plane saying, where is Suarez? Where is Suarez? Oh, I don't see him. He's not getting on the plane.
He's handcuffed to Scott Harrison. He can't leave.
They don't play tomorrow either.
Right.
They got to go all the way out to Sacramento because they're playing the Athletics with no city. But, you know, I mean, is this like a college football coaching search where we're, hey, the tail number of the plane, where is it? Where's it going? Oh, wait, it pulled over in Denver. Is it just refueling or have they decided that they're going to send him back?
Or they've turned around the plane.
Yes.
Are we going to have a Eugenio Suarez limo driver situation?
Oh boy. Yeah, was that Khalil Mack? Yes. Yeah.
Who's going to spot him at DTW? Let us know.
Yes.
He shouldn't leave town. The other teams linked to him are mostly National League teams, but the Mariners in the AL. And I don't want to see him do damage against the Tigers in the postseason. I want that bat in our lineup. Like everybody will point out, well, hey, McKinstry hit a home run yesterday. Was he playing third? No? Okay, cool. So McKinstry could still hit a home run with Suarez in the lineup. Like, yeah. You get what I'm saying here?
And I know the trade deadline's not till tomorrow. We'll talk more about it tomorrow morning. If nothing happens tonight, if Suarez is reportedly on the plane, like we'll talk more about this tomorrow. But
first of all, do you agree with me that the right thing is a bat and an arm? I mean, maybe people want more than that, but I think that is where the conversation starts.
Yeah, and I'll play the semantics game. I would say it's more important to have an arm and a bat.
Because okay, fine. Switch the order, but one of each, John.
Yes, one of each, but I think it's more important that they get somebody in the bullpen than a bat. And if that's all they come away with, I am not going to sit here and say I'm happy. I'm also not disappointed. It's kind of a, all right, let's see what happens.
That's the bare minimum is an arm and
a bat.
Well, just an arm?
That's the bare minimum.
Okay, but an arm and a bat is, quote, the right thing to do. Now, okay, we've answered this. Part two, let's go back to part one. Will he do it? Are you confident that Scott Harris is going to strut in at a press conference at the end of Thursday with, how you like them apples? Because I don't think he's going to do that. I would put Suarez at less than 50-50. Give me 25% chance they land him.
Yeah.
And I do think they'll add an arm, John. So, partial credit, not all the way there.
Right. And I guess I'm with you in regards to I don't think Scott Harris sees this as the year to push all the chips in. Because his whole philosophy has been, let's build from within. Let's don't block the bats. Let's don't block the young players. And some of that has worked out. Not everything, but some of it's worked out. And I just don't think he is yet ready to flip the switch to say, I'm going to go sell some prospects and I'm going to bring in a rental player.
But
take away, I don't care the name. I'm not all in. I don't want to lose somebody that I think could be a potential everyday player for the Tigers in the future for a rental.
So where do you draw the line? You're not giving up top 100, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The number 6 is Melton. He's here. He's in the rotation. Right. Does it? We're not trading 1 through 6. 7 is Haiyu Lee. He acquired him. Maybe he has a special place in his heart for the infielder. So now we're not trading 1 through 7. Like,
yeah, but Theron Lorenzo is a guy that acquired. Jahan is it a guy that he acquired? I think it was from Atlanta.
Yes,
and I'm not. I don't think you should ever be that attached to your guys. I understand being attached to your draft picks. And guys that you believe are going to possibility of being not just stars, but superstars.
So like Kevin McGonigal's the number one prospect in all of baseball. Elite bat to ball skills.
He's not going anywhere.
I get it. You're not moving him. Certainly not for a rental. Same deal with Max Clark, who's in the top 10 in all of baseball. I understand that. But there is a line where you could say, I have the best farm system in baseball. I can give up my 6th or 7th prospect which would still be better than most teams 3 or 4 and get the deals done, deals plural.
Right, but I mean, is he also, because what Arizona has reportedly wanted is pitching.
And they haven't been getting enough in terms of offers. That's right.
Would you put Troy Milton
yes.
on the block? And so, but then you think about it from Scott Harris. Okay, if they're not going to extend Tarek Skubal, is Troy Milton a part of the 27 rotation?
But hold on, slow down.
Trying to prepare for what with Job coming back and Melton
yes,
and
but
Mize?
Slow down, because I think you just stumbled into something there. Sure, there will be the argument, I need Melton because I'm not keeping Skubal. If I'm not keeping Skubal, I
then
better add somebody right now to win. Aha!
It's the chicken or the egg, the classic conversation.
And you have presented people with a difficult, loaded question, which is your confidence that Harris will do the right thing. It's the deadline eve. It's 97-1.